This is Reverend Urban saying hello to you and expressing our deep thanks to you again for your kindness in letting us join with you in sharing this tape of our service, our inadequate way of letting you know that we regard you as one of us. The wondrous days that God has given us in recent times is rather amazing and something we need to be truly grateful for. It's amazing how sometimes we, in search for God's larger and special kinds of blessings, we overlook the wondrous and daily and regular blessings which he gives us so freely. So let us become more aware of those. Good day, good health, friends, and whatever. Whatever it is that enriches our lives, let us be thankful for that. And then those special things, whatever that might be, become a tremendous extra, something that we can add to our list of praise as we pray and meditate before God. At any rate, thank you for letting us come to you, and it's our prayer and our hope that God will be with you every hour, every minute of your days. Dear God, it is not our custom to be humble, but as we approach you in time of prayer, make us humble that we might adore you and praise you, for we are your creatures and your children through the power of Jesus Christ. You are holy and we are often profane. You are all-powerful and we are terribly weak. You are wise and we are usually foolish. You are goodness and we're often not good. You are love and we are often unloving. And yet you choose to love us, and you bid us come to you, and you have assured us that you will hear our supplications. May you be able to communicate with us because we come humbly and because we come receptive to your voice. Hear of our thanksgiving, O God. We're surrounded by your care. Our material needs are better supplied than nearly all of your people. So much so that in our abundance we sometimes think that we're deprived and clamor for more. You have surrounded us with a community of love and understanding, of caring people, of fellow seekers after Jesus Christ. You have given us Christ to show us your love and to provide a way by which we may be restored to you. And you have endowed us with skills and abilities, with intellect, with compassion and care, with the capacity to hurt for others and the ability to rejoice with them. And through your Spirit, you have bestowed special gifts upon each of us. Let us be thankful people, O Lord. Let us thank you for those meaningful gifts of relationships and affection which enrich our lives and which, with your power and guidance, we seek to nourish and fulfill. Open now our lives to your calling. There is much that we can do. You did not give us our gifts to waste. Let our care and compassion lead us to serve our fellow man better. Let our thought power lead us to understanding and wisdom. Let our response to Christ and your love lead us to the abundant life. And let our ability to love and be loved turn our lives around. And let all hate and resentment be banished. Give us, or at least some of us, the will to dedicate ourselves more fully to you. Let us find some area of our life which we have been holding back and give it to you now. Or perhaps we have not made a first step at becoming yours. This is a time that we ought to do that. Now, O Lord God, hear our intercessions as we wait in silence before you. Thank you. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. In the book of Acts, it is written in the second chapter, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues. The most misunderstood gift of the Holy Spirit is the gift of speaking in tongues. A few years ago, it used to be that speaking in tongues was largely confined to some of the smaller groups of our Christian community, notably the Assembly of God. But in recent times, the phenomenon, the experience, the gift has become a widespread experience among people in the major and the standard and the mainline denominations. And I suppose by now that nearly every Christian has chosen his side regarding speaking in tongues. A few people are neutral on the subject, particularly if they have a deep and profound interest in and commitment to the Christian faith. Most people are either pro-tongue or anti-tongue. Not everyone wants to hear the pros and cons. They're like the woman, I suppose it could have been a man, but the woman who said, "Don't confuse me with facts, I've already got my mind made up." Those who are against speaking in tongues quote Paul when he said, "I would rather speak 5 words with understanding than 10,000 words in an unknown tongue." But those who favor and are for speaking in tongues quote Paul also. In fact, in the same book, in the same chapter in 1 Corinthians, and just a verse away from the verse which we just quoted, where it says, "I thank God that I speak in tongues more than any of you." It is kind of sad, but tongue speaking is, in its way, having a divisive effect on the Church of Jesus Christ today. So this morning I'd like to examine the scriptural positions on speaking in tongues. But first we should note that we usually get so carried away with our own dogmatic position about lots of things that we don't have an open mind to hear the other side of the story. It's about like the person, the woman, and again, a woman. I have nothing against women, except just happened these two instances talked about women. With our dogmatic position, we're somewhat like the woman who heard the great William James lecture one time on the solar system. And in his lecture, James told about how the planets were orbiting around the sun and went on into some detail about that kind of thing. This woman approached James after the lecture and said that she had a theory which was far superior to his. She said, "We don't live on a ball rotating around the sun, as you claim, but we live on the crust of earth on the back of a giant turtle." The great man, James, thought to dissuade her as gently as he could. So he said, "Now, if your theory is correct, madam, just what does that turtle stand on?" And she said, "You're a very clever man, Mr. James, but that's a good question, but I have an answer for you. The first turtle stands on the back of a second turtle." James countered with, "But what does the second turtle stand on?" But the woman crowed very triumphantly and said, "It's no use, Mr. James. It's turtles all the way down." And we're somewhat like that in our dogmatic thinking and our prejudice in our prejudices. Instead of having a closed mind, let us look at what the Bible says. The Spirit and His work is mentioned through most of the New Testament, but most particularly, the teachings about the activity of the Holy Spirit are found in Acts, in Corinthians, and in Romans. And perhaps the best approach is to ask the questions which are sometimes or often asked of me. And one of those is speaking in tongues a valid gift and experience? Do you have to be some kind of religious fanatic or nut to practice speaking in tongues? Fulton Sheen said once, "We don't communicate at the academic level anymore, but at the emotional level." Speaking in tongues is an experience of the emotions rather than of the mind. But that does not mean to say that if a person speaks in tongues that he has parked his mind. It does not mean that if a person speaks in tongues, he is only following his own feelings. Speaking in tongues is a valid gift and a valid experience. It's mentioned at least three times very clearly in the scriptures. Mentioned in Acts on the day of Pentecost. It is also noted that speaking in tongues occurred at Caesarea and also at Ephesus. And it must have happened at Corinth too, because chapters 12, 13, and 14 of 1 Corinthians were written by Paul to correct errors in usage of the gift. Historically speaking in tongues happened from time to time in the church. It was about 1900 that the modern Pentecostal movement began. Then, 10 to 15 years ago, came the Neo-Pentecostal movement, more commonly called the Charismatic movement. And this has gained attention in nearly all the mainline denominations, including the Roman Catholic Church. United Methodists generally have felt that our stance should say that we should be open and accepting of those whose Christian experience differs from ours. Since many people have experienced the gift of tongues, we have felt that we ought to look at the gift of the Spirit with openness. We can't say, "Well, never happened to me, I've never spoken in tongues, therefore it is no good." It never hurts to examine ideas. Well, because it is biblical, because the New Testament church practiced speaking in tongues, because the Pentecostal and the present day charismatic speak in tongues, we need to recognize this as a legitimate gift and experience to speak in tongues. Yes, it is a valid gift and experience. Can you be filled? Secondly, can you be filled with the Spirit without speaking in tongues? Some say that the only valid and sure sign of the Holy Spirit filling our lives is to speak in unknown tongues. The New Testament does not teach that. And the position of the United Methodist Church is that we are critical of classical Pentecostalism when it infers that one who does not speak in tongues is guilty of withholding a full surrender of self to the will and purpose of God. Some of the great saints spoke in tongues. Paul obviously did. Tertullian, one of the early church leaders, did. Oral Roberts does. Lots of people do today. On the other hand, John Wesley, Martin Luther, St. Augustine, Dwight L. Moody, Francis Asbury, John Calvin, and many, many more did not. Speaking in tongues clearly is not a criteria for judging whether or not a person has the Spirit's presence in his life. Now, in a way, we've already answered the next question. Does it make you a better Christian to speak in tongues? It certainly does not. In 1 Corinthians, Paul mentions 9 gifts of the Spirit and says we should earnestly seek the best gift. Now, I don't know whether there's any significance to it or not, but in his list of 9 gifts, speaking in tongues is 8th and interpretation of tongues is ninth. What is the best gift of the Spirit? Very clearly, the best gift of the Spirit is the one which is needed at a particular time. The best gift in one situation may not be the best gift in another situation. It is an ugly and unchristian pride which insists that a person who does not speak in tongues is somehow a lesser Christian than one who does. Now, fourth, should you seek the gift of speaking in tongues? To speak in tongues just for the sake of doing it is hardly adequate motivation and is the poorest of reasons. That makes a little thing out of what people testify to be a great experience. There's a story about a man named Wallstrom. He purchased, shortly after the war, the big war, and what war isn't big, an old bomb site and tore it apart. And he put it back together again. He had some extra hardware and pieces laying around the house there on his work table, so he put them in it too. And he became fascinated with adding to his bomb site. In fact, neighbors brought him bits and pieces of metal and bearings and lights and whatnot, and he added them all to his contraption. And he ended up with a marvelous machine which he called Wallstrom's Wonder. When he threw a switch, some 3,000 parts began to move, bells rang, lights flashed, wheels turned, and so forth. And then somebody asked him what the machine does. And he said, "Oh, it doesn't do anything, it just runs." And that is what speaking in tongues, for the sake of speaking in tongues alone, is. It's just running and does nothing. If God wants you to speak in tongues, God will give you the gift to speak in tongues. And it will not come without, and it will come without strange manipulation of your tongue and without undue manipulation of your emotions. We should always seek those gifts of the Spirit which will enrich our lives and our ministry to serve God and our fellow man. Now let's suppose that the person has the gift of tongues. When should he speak in tongues? Someone comes to a tongue speaker and says, speak in tongues, I want to hear you. Could you do it? In spite of the fact that some claim yes, they cannot do so authentically. Because remember, the gift is not yours, it's the Spirit's. And in no manner or means does anyone control the activity of the Spirit. Now in the early church there did seem to be, and a limited good use of tongues in worship services. Clearly, the gift was only to be exercised when an interpreter was present. And Paul cautions in the 14th chapter of 1 Corinthians that speaking in tongues is to be used only twice and an absolute maximum of three times in a public worship service. And he says, tongues are for an example to the unbeliever. But if you all get together and all you do is talk in tongues, they'll think you're mad. Tongues in public worship are to be used with wisdom and propriety. Then there is a use of the spiritual gift of tongues in private worship, in prayer. Paul speaks in the 8th chapter of Romans, the 26th and 27th verses, of the Spirit helping him to pray. Now, we don't always know how to pray. I don't always know how to pray. And about prayer, I suppose that is one of the most commonly asked questions. How do you pray? People say, I don't know how to pray. And it is true, we don't always know how to pray, but the Spirit helps us with groanings which cannot be uttered, according to Paul. Now this undoubtedly is the most helpful and the most neglected area of speaking in tongues, to use it in private prayer and private meditation. And I suspect that there are more of you out there who speak in tongues than you might imagine. God allows us to wrestle, to agonize in prayer. Have you a burden? Do you have a problem? Do you have a concern? A desire? Do you have a hope so great that you simply do not know how to pray or what to say? Have you not gone to God in earnest prayer and literally wept and groaned, often inarticulately? Sometimes we are anxious in our prayers because we don't know the right words. Sometimes we're so concerned that our words come out without a great deal of articulation. Now that at least is bordering, I'm not saying it is, but at least is bordering on speaking in tongues. And whether that's what you want to call it or not, that is the way that the Spirit wants you to pray. To be so sincere, so wrapped up in what you're praying about, that you do not always say the words clearly, or maybe even say them at all. And sometimes only partially mutter them, so that they become indistinct to someone else who might be listening. And they all seem to come out wrong. Have you had that experience? That's a gift to be coveted, one that we can all use, and that's a far cry from the easy, light, casual, superficial prayer that we usually utter. Prayer that touches neither our hearts nor God's heart. That's the kind of praying that will not let go, that will not be denied. That is a prayer that avails. So the future probably will not find you giving a message in tongues in public worship. It may, probably it won't. But you can speak to God in a tongue and in a sincerity that changes lives and changes situations. And whatever you think about the gift of tongues, everyone should seek that gift. Let us pray. Lord, our Heavenly Father, we pray that through our life of private prayer, that we will understand, come to understand, that it is a prayer of the heart and not of the lips which avails. It is a prayer that involves us so deeply that we don't even know what to say. It is a prayer about which we're so concerned that often the words are muddied and unclear. Teach us that kind of prayer and other things, the questions about speaking in tongues and many other questions become unimportant, for then our lives will be changed, and those circumstances that make us anxious will be subject to your power through your Spirit. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Amen. Amen.